Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is The Cutting Edge Show, and Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. This evening, we will be discussing the American economy. The numbers continually show that Black people continue to suffer disproportionately across most social barometers. This pandemic has revealed the inequality that has been going on in this racist society. And Justin, what would you like to add?
I mean, not too much. I mean, I think you kind of hit it on the nail. We kind of knew that already. I think, though, at the same time, we as people, Black people especially, we have to, you know, we got to stop. We kind of stop falling for the trap. Like, you know, like we can't willingly walk into the trap. We can climb the economic social ladder, you know, but there are some things that has to happen. You know, some of those things has to happen is, you know, trust. You know, we got to be able to take chances. You got to be able to take the risk, you know, because we got, I mean, honestly, the only way we're going to get where we want to be is with ownership. You know, if we ain't owning it, then it's like at the end of the day, we still got to answer to somebody. And I mean, somebody is still getting the biggest share of the pie, you know. So I think ownership is very important. And when I say falling into the trap, what I mean by that is I know, like, far as in my family and, like, far as in the Black community that I grew up in and was surrounded by, you know, in general, you know, it's hard to get people, you know, just to get together and put money together for a vacation, you know, let alone put money together, you know, start a business, you know, like that's how we start to make a real difference right there. You know, what do you think about that?
I agree. I think, you know, homeownership, starting your own business, being self-reliant, not because, you know, there are certain proportion of Black people who are dependent on the system economically just to survive. And I do believe that if you count on somebody and you expect somebody to feed you, those same people can turn around and starve you. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, that Black people are treated like children by basically mm-hmm. by white people, what they did in slavery.
Mm-hmm. Not 100%. I mean, like, they,
so
I mean, like,
it's up to us to change it.
You say what?
I said it's up to us as Black people to change our own narratives.
100%. Well, you know. You know, the people in power aren't going to give you the education needed to, you know, to overthrow them. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't
right.
Something about to happen. You know, like, they're
right.
not going to be like, oh,
and
you do
believe,
this. You, you know.
And I don't believe they will get, right, they're not going to give you education to overthrow them. They're not going to give you an education to where you will be in power, and they won't. But I think it is up to us to educate our own children.
100%. Preach.
And another thing that I think that keeps us down is the media, because they're always showing negative portrayals of Black people in the media.
The demonization of the Black race.
Right. And there are a lot of successful Black people, Black families, you know, single Black people that are doing very well.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And they're just not shown. They will, like,
well,
you
no,
know.
They don't want to perpetuate that type of narrative. You know, they don't want to, I mean, like, think about it. Like, you know, how often do you see in movies and TV shows and books, you know, where the Black man has a leadership role, not necessarily a lead role in the movie, but like an actual leadership role, and is a proud, strong black man or woman, you know, that is straight. You know, typically, when if you get somebody who's in a leadership role and they're black, typically they're gay or a part of the LGB community, and or they want to and or biracial. You know, they want to have a biracial relationship. You know, and that's shot over, you know, the media, like that is perpetuated nonstop. It's hard not to find shows where that's not the case. Like, I was just watching a movie. I was just watching a show on Netflix. I stopped watching it. Like, I saw two black characters. Both of the black characters were male. Both male black characters were gay. I'm like, you haven't even showed a straight black male yet. To me, I'm just trying to figure out what.
Emasculation of the black male is real. That's what they like to show. And even in commercials that I've been seeing lately, you would see a white woman with a black man, a black woman with a white man. It's always an interracial couple, but I haven't seen two black couples lately. It's been a minute.
Exactly. I mean, like, and my thing is, there are, you know, they do have some shows, like, for example, you watch, like, Black Light. You know, leadership role, you know, strong male figure, you know, but his daughter's gay. And I have no issue, you know, with black people being gay. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. Whatever you do in your bedroom between you and whoever you're doing that with, right? My big thing is the fact that it's just like, why is it so hard for us to be able to find media outlet that isn't perpetuating black LGBTQ, not saying that it's trying to diminish or destroy, but like just not promote it. Just, I mean, you know, just regular. Like, it's
right.
I don't see that anyway. And if
right.
the callers, you
that
know, if you want to weigh in, please, you know, press one, get in on this. I'd love to hear your questions or comments that you want to add on to it as well. But
okay.
Yeah, like, for me, like,
you have a question or comment?
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, my comment is basically, not to sound racist, I just think this is what it is. I feel like, you know, black people got to stop dating outside of their race. How are we going to ever build black wealth if we're just handing it to the white people?
And you think,
like,
dating
successful,
is the way to
deal with what? I feel like successful black people that date outside of their race, like, eventually, like, well, that money's just going to go back to the white people.
So none of that Tiger Woods, right?
So, like,
no.
I mean, and that's just not in every case, but I feel like in a lot of cases, because, you know, a lot of black people in power don't even like dealing with black people. So,
why?
I mean, if black people date outside of their race, don't date outside of their race, I feel like in general that would just, for the white kid, I mean, you have a mixed kid. Let's just say your kid goes with another white person. I mean, your money's just going back to white people. I mean, people may disagree, but I feel like, you know, if we are like a lot of other cultures, really not including white people, but a lot of people stick to their race and keep their money in their race. Like a lot of Hispanic people that date Hispanics.
Yep.
A lot of Asians, they date Asians.
They also date white. They do. They date it all but black.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they date other races too, but I noticed that they try to.
Yeah, stay in
their
own
race. Yeah.
Yep.
And I feel like black people don't even think about that.
They don't
well,
care
one thing
at all.
They
their goal is just to get outside.
Black
of their
people
race.
Do have money. They're just not good. The majority of them aren't good with their money because the minority market, that is a $3.9 trillion that they have in buying power. So it's not really that a lot of them don't have money. It's just what they do with their money. They're not investing. They buy.
But if you remember earlier what I was talking about, if you remember earlier when we first started, one of the things that I, you know, mentioned and what I was talking about was, you know, falling into those traps. You know, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there. You know, like putting our money together. I mean, you say it to most black people, they look at you like, oh, there got to be some type of scam. Got to be some type of scam. You know, instead of, hey, let's go make some money. Right?
Right, so do you think black people are just scared to take risks? Because, you know, there aren't. You can't take risks.
I don't think black people are scared to take risks. I think black people are scared to risk things for black people. You know, because if a white man came up and gave the same opportunity, they think that it's legit. Not saying that it's guaranteed to think that it's legit, but they typically have a stronger time of like, oh, okay, that's probably right. Let me go ahead and try that. You know, and like one of the things that comes to me is just like for me personally, especially like growing up in school and things of that nature, one of the things that happened to me a lot was the fact that one thing that happened to me a lot is, like, when I say something, like, people would just be like, oh, you must be wrong. Or you might got lucky and got right. You know what I mean? They needed someone else to come through to verify whatever it is I just said for it to be, like, a factual statement. You know? And it wasn't just me. Like, I see that happen to black people all the time. All the time. So, you know, I don't think it is just taking risks. You know, like a lot of people, you know, we look at our community and things of that nature, but we got to realize, you know, not to sound like a devil's advocate, but like, you know, we're the ones tearing up a lot of our own stuff. We're the ones, you know, digging a lot of our own holes. Yes, the system is a trap, and they set it up, and they set the system up to do exactly what it's doing now, but the system don't work if we don't cooperate. You know, we got to stop cooperating with that. We got to stop going along with the narrative. We got to start asking other questions. You know, like, you know, why is Black Lives Matter surrounded by the LGBTQ community? You know, like, why is it when you said Black Lives Matter, we was met with All Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. But yet when they say stop Asian hate, no one's talking about all hate. I haven't heard that yet. I ain't heard it yet. Has anybody heard Stop All Hate?
I haven't heard it, and I am pissed off about it because of that, I'm like,
you know,
I'm done with the Democratic Party. You know what? I'm not giving my vote away. I don't care who's in office. Trump could have stayed for all that, what he has done so far, because personally, my income wasn't affected by Trump being in office.
Right.
And Jim Crow told black people what he was going to do. He said he was, when he got in the office, immigration, LGBTQ. And now he then added Asians to it.
Yep.
So black people get murdered, lynched, beat up, attacked by police dogs, anything. But we don't need protection.
No, it can't do nothing for us.
Asian people get beat up. Oh, we got to save the Asian people. You know, so black people need to wake up and smell the roses because, you know, the Democrat Party, all they want you for is your vote. That is it. And they will come around and talk about, oh, you don't want Trump in office because he's racist. Well, obviously they are too.
Yep. They push the same agenda.
Right. And they might not be outwardly saying racist things like Trump, but they're passing policies that are, and doing things that are anti-black. So, of course, that makes them, in my book, racist.
All day.
So,
look like a duck, smell like a duck. I'm going to call that bug a duck. Duck goose.
A slap in the face for black people who voted and put Biden and Kamala Harris in office. They use scare tactics and black people still fall for it. Oh, you got to get Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have another Trump. Right. But economically, a lot of these cities have all these ghettos, and also places that are being gentrified are mostly Democratic cities.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been any real improvement at all, not even the last 40 plus years. And things seem to get worse. And then now they holler, oh, they're buying up our properties. They're gentrifying our neighborhoods, and we can't afford to stay there anymore.
How we gonna call, I'm just trying to figure out how we gonna call it our properties and we don't even own it.
You know what? I don't know, but I'm sure some people do own their properties. But if they don't keep their properties up and they're run down, I don't want to live by a rundown house or in a rundown neighborhood.
Right. I agree. We do got to take care of our own neighborhood, you know. I do think about, you know, like putting in investments into our neighborhood, making sure that, you know, we have, you know, what we need to do to make sure our property value increase, and we're gaining stature there. We definitely got to do that, you know. And two, one of the things we definitely got to do, especially as Black people, I feel like we do not do well from my experience. And it could just be my experience. Some people probably do great at it. But, you know, leaving something for your kids. I ain't talking about leaving $5. You know, I ain't talking about nothing petty. Like actually do something that is like where if something happens to you, regardless, at the end of the day, you know, you're able to give something to your children that they can then build on and give to their children.
Right.
And build on and give to their past generational wealth. Yes. Like,
right.
You know,
but
that's what we have to do.
Nikes, they're going to have like 100 pair of Nikes.
And no stock.
They're going to have clothes, probably some jewelry, and probably have to do a GoFundMe to bury them.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had someone to ask me for an insurance quote for their little kid, and their kid is small, not been here that long. And
mm-hmm.
they said, well, I don't have that much money to work with. And I said, well, what would you like? And they was like, well, maybe I can do like a little $10,000 policy. Well, their child was young enough. So I'm like, okay, I can find you something. I found them a policy for $3 and something a month for a $10,000 policy.
Mm.
And they told me it was too much.
Wow.
But they don't get their nails done. They always got fresh weaves, wigs, eyelashes. They got money for air, all that. But they couldn't afford $3 a month.
I remember when I got life insurance for my daughter, I wanted to pay it all up front. You know, I wanted. I had this really amazing agent that was, you know, working with me to make sure I get the right policy. Phenomenal woman. Phenomenal. And one of the things that I wanted to do was, you know, they like you have the annual amount. And I'm like, all right, if you had an annual amount, is there like a full policy amount? I can just pay it all the way up. Like, no, it's just an annual amount. I'm like, all right, I got the annual amount. Pay the annual amount 18 times right now up front. Pay it off for a whole 18 years. No, of course not. Why? Because the life insurance company wants you to renege on that. So that way you just gave them money for no reason.
Well, that
I
is not true because I'm an insurance broker. So, No, they have a single pay policy where you can pay one time and that's it. You paid up forever. You don't have to make another payment.
I try to get my daughter a policy, you know, to go ahead and pay it up all the way for her until she was 18. And then from then, it was supposed to graduate into something else that she could later use for college if she wanted to use it for college.
Well,
I think it was like the Gerbert life. Huh?
Like I said, like they with insurance, they do have single pay policies where you can pay one price if you got enough money. Pay
well,
it once.
I think that's something that we should definitely do. Like we should have a show, you know, one of these weeks where you go over some of these policies that, you know, and educate some of our listeners on. You know, I think that'd be phenomenal. What do you think?
Yeah, I can do that. Also, they have
a 10-pack.
I think
you got to write that down and put a pin on that. Huh?
So they also have a 10-pay policy, which is also great. You got enough money to single pay? That's for somebody to do the single pay. You done forever. You don't have to worry about it. But if you can do the 10-pay, which is even – that's good also because all it is you pay for the policy 10 years. After 10 years, it's paid up forever.
Mm.
Instead of somebody getting a policy on, say, you have a baby, you get a policy on your newborn child. Usually they make you wait 15 days to make sure it's going to survive. But then by the time the child is 10 years old, it's paid for forever. But if you got a regular policy, you'd be paying on it when it was, you started off when the baby is born. When the baby is 30, you're still paying. When the baby is 40, you're still paying.
Mm-hmm.
So single pay, 10 pay, I think is the best route personally to go if you can do that. 10 pay is a little higher, but overall in the long run is cheaper than paying forever. And then you have it paid up. But, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can use it for generational wealth. Okay, we also have, let me see, a situation where, like, the media, and, like, well, I'm going to go back to what you were saying, like, the representation and stuff like that from the media about black people and not showing us like really progressing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We need to have our own media companies, our own groups, and, you know, we have to take responsibility for what our people see.
Well, hey, we got a brother doing that. You
media,
know, we got a brother doing that.
They control what's out there and what people believe, because a lot of people believe what they hear and see on television. And that's black people included.
There was a time back when radio was the new innovation, and that's how people received their media. There was a show on called The Martian Attack. This was a special that lasted for, I think it was like 3 days, okay? And people was listening to the radio and not realizing that this was fiction. This was not real, you know?
Yeah,
and people
aware
didn't
of that
go to work.
One.
People didn't even go to work. Huh?
Right, and I also heard people committed suicide because they thought they were under attack.
Yeah,
I read all about that.
And that just shows the power that media has to influence, you know, people's actions.
So, what do you think that black people can do economically? I know home ownership, starting businesses, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of black kids, they go
to... I got another thing we got to be doing. And, you know, I think the Jews... You know, did it right with when it what do they call that? What's that thing they got called?
I don't know.
It's like the Jews, like so when a kid becomes a certain age, they gotta go up there and read a scripture and they're in a Jewish native tongue, supposedly, right? Bar mitzvah. We need to have something like that. Like for every child we have, you know, as a family, this is
something.
This is
that actually there is
something
I don't remember the name of it. but it's a rite of passage that they do for black males, like young ones, like for becoming a man. Because I actually watched a video that this man did for his son. It was really nice. And it's similar to that, but it was like some kind of rite of passage thing. And they did it for the boys. And it was really nice. I can't remember right offhand what the name of it that they had called it.
I might be talking about the event. Like, my biggest thing, though, like with the bar mitzvahs, most people in bar mitzvahs, they're getting $20,000. They're getting $30,000. They're getting $50,000. You know, and it goes up, up, and up. And that's money that this person is getting before they're, if I'm not mistaken, the bar mitzvah is done when they're about 13 years old, if I'm not mistaken. But that's money that they put saved, that they're not supposed to touch, and that they're supposed to invest, that their family put together to give to them on their bar mitzvah. That's giving them a head start. You know, but my issue is like, and our community is like, you know, that sounds nice, but since no one done it for me, why should I do it for someone else? You know what I mean? Like, that mentality, like, I think for all of my kids, next week 16, they're all getting something. Like, you know, because I want them to have money. I want them to have capital to be able to, you know, invest the way that they see fit in their future, to have control of their destiny. So that way, as they're getting started with not just a professional career, but planning out their life, you know, it's not starting from the mud. It ain't starting from zero. You know, it's not starting from having nothing and to see how much you can get with nothing. You know, it's being able to actually have a starting point with something, you know, and to help you perpetuate yourself forward, and then for you to do that, the same thing to your next generation. You know, I think that's very important.
Yeah, that is important.
And like for all our callers, you have any questions, comments, you know, feel free to dial one. Love to hear what you got to say. You know, bring some flavor to this conversation. Do we still got
yes, I have a comment.
Okay.
Yes, I have a question for actually you guys. So what do you guys think about the current unemployment status of the extra unemployment? Do you guys think it should be extended, even though it probably won't be?
I think it should be extended. I believe that I know a lot of people that are getting more from unemployment right now than what they were working on their jobs, which just shows that all these employers, it's a lot of them that was not even paying their workers a living wage. And Walmart was one of them that's not paying a living wage, because they said a lot of Walmart's workers who work 40 hours a week still have to go and apply for public assistance just to make it. So all they are is working poor. They're not coming up.
Right. And Walmart.
So I'm mad at nobody for not going to work if they're going to get more than what they were making. I went to two restaurants here where I live, and at lunchtime through the drive-thru, and they had signs up that they had no workers.
Well, this is what I got to say about that. Looking at that on an economic scale, right? When, and this is something that, you know, I always took a lot of, you know, slack about. But, you know, when the woman entered the workforce, it literally doubled the workforce. So just speaking strictly economically, not saying that the woman should or should not work, man should or should not, whatever, not even getting into any of that. Just looking at strict numbers, that doubled the workforce. What that did was give companies more buying power, because now you can't negotiate, because we got someone else who would do it for even less than what we're offering you for, right? Right now, we're in a situation where those companies are like, hey, we need workers, and we're like, hey, we don't want to work because I make more money doing this. It's a business decision. When companies say, hey, it's a business decision, everybody says, hey, well, it's smart business. when we as people say, hey, well, I'm making more money doing this, I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're just being lazy. You know, that stereotype, that stigma, you know. But two, moving forward, you know, my thing is, especially with Republicans, they will always want to talk about the trickle-down economics. This is how you get trickle-down economics. You refuse to work. And large protests where there aren't enough workers. And what that does is drive up the wage. Eventually, the number will go up high enough that people will say, hey, I can work for that. You know,
okay, five,
that's why
four,
I don't
zero,
like trickle-down economics because it doesn't work. Huh?
5240, do you have a question or comment? Hello?
Yeah, y'all hear me? Hello,
yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and I was just saying about extra workers and you know, some companies paying 13, 14, 15, 16, but years ago they said they wouldn't make it like that. Now they got $500 bonuses, $1,000 bonuses. Man, before y'all go out of business if y'all paid that wages. Now they're begging to pay the higher wages. Wait, they could have been paying the damn higher wages. Everybody getting out bonuses. Some restaurants got to close early. It don't make no sense. McDonald's paying up to 14, 15 hour, 13 for kids. You know what I mean? McDonald's going to high school for 11, 12 graders. I'm saying giving out bonuses to work, all type of. But I'm like, Walmart, if y'all could, y'all should have been did that years ago if y'all can afford to do it. Remember they said they couldn't afford to do it because they'd go out of business.
Right. No, that's the fear tactic that they use. They say, hey, we can't give our employees raises, otherwise French fries would be $20. It's like, no, you can cut back some of your profit. Instead of making $500 million this year, you can make, you know, $300 million. You know? I mean, like that's an option as well. You know, you don't have to
those celebrity commercials. A lot of those celebrity commercials, you can cut some of their ass out. You already know you got a good product.
Right, and then
advertising is
multi-million dollars in bonuses. I didn't see where they paid $20 million more to a bonus for some top executive who probably sitting behind a desk doing nothing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The more money you make, the less work you do.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like I know. My job personally for summer school, teachers are not under contract in the summer, so you cannot ask a teacher to work, but teachers aren't obligated to work because they're 10-month employees. So right now we have a teacher shortage, especially for the summer school program. So now they're trying to give out bonuses, trying to get people to apply to work for summer school since they're more of a bind because teachers aren't under contract in the summer. So it's like you actually have been paying more in the first place. Yes.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Are you going to get some of that bonus?
If I decide to work in the summertime.
Yeah, well, don't get it if you can. Don't leave the money on the table.
I mean, I know, like,
please.
Personally, since the pandemic, I feel like I know some schools did give out bonuses for people coming back to the buildings and working during the pandemic, but even virtual learning, a lot of people think you're just working at home and it's easier. But for me, it was actually harder and more work doing virtual school than it is actually being in person with students. So, like, I know a lot of teachers have left from virtual learning. Also, but it's like they need to pay people more. People are putting in more hours, and then they get you when you're on salary because you're not hourly, so you're kind of losing out. And then the hourly people, they don't care. They're just there for their time, and then they leave. So I feel like, you know, people at least should be compensated more when there's more work in general. Like, we can't get the time back, but, hey, maybe I can go. We can't get the time back, but maybe I can go enjoy a vacation or something extra with a little extra bit of money since I did put in more work.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
people do
true.
Like an incentive when they have to do more. But the companies usually,
true.
If it's just normal, like, they don't care. They're like, you're under contract. You got to work. You got to do this. You need us. And they don't care.
The wealthy.
A lot of.
Yeah, so now companies need people, so it's kind of becoming the opposite. They're like, okay, what motivates people? Like, money motivates most people.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Up there where you're at, in the school board union, y'all got a strong union or a weak union?
They're pretty strong. They do okay. They negotiate a lot. I know since the pandemic happened, which kind of sucks, like a lot of things were cut. Like teachers overall in my county were supposed to get raises and everything, and a lot of stuff did get cut due to the pandemic. But like the union, they still negotiate. But I mean, I just feel like in general, teachers don't get paid enough.
Yeah, not with these generation of kids. I understand if kids hard-headed as hell, half of the moms ghetto family, so I understand what you're dealing with. Yeah, you need to get paid more and compensated because it's a job, you know.
I mean, then again, like looking at the economy, when you look at it, it's like teachers don't get paid enough, and if you really look at like most of the school systems, like they suck. They don't teach kids anything. They teach us a bunch of things
true.
We don't need to know. Like, I didn't really know, besides the basic things that I really could have been taught at home that I use in everyday life, like, I really didn't learn anything useful from school. Like, the useful things that we are learning, like, you can teach your kids that yourself. And I think a part of the problem is, like, children are forced to go to school. Like, we don't actually own our kids. Like, at the end of the day, you know, the government owns us. We're not free to do whatever we want. Like, we have somebody to answer to at the end of the day. Like, we're free to a certain extent is what we are, but not completely. So, like, they're controlling what our kids learn for the most part, unless probably your school, unless you just have a really great school district that has money. But, like, most of the school districts, like I said, they're not teaching us anything we need to know. Like, they're teaching us to be workers. Like, it's kind of a trap. Because they got us where they want us. I mean, that's what I think about the school system. I don't think that, I mean, I think pretty much you got to teach your kids to be entrepreneurs at a young age and teach your kids things.
Yeah.
Because the school system is just teaching us to be workers. I mean, I wish I would have knew what I know now when I was younger.
Yeah, me too. I said the same thing when I was going to school in the city when I grew up. I mean, some of the guys was talking, he was like, man, they just told us to be workers, man. They didn't really give us what we needed to get at the time to be more entrepreneurs or make more money and make better decisions. It was like you finish high school and you just take your ass to work. Okay, then that's it. You just finish school and go to work. And I think our parents at the time, I think a lot of African-American parents didn't know no better. So if they don't know better, they can't teach us. But I noticed one thing, that blacks that was more educated, they taught their kids more than the ones who was less educated. So you don't want to just like, you know, you're just trying to make it every day in the inner city school. You're trying to stay alive. You're just trying to stay, you know what I mean, afloat. You're just trying to survive the all the chaos and BS that goes on in inner city schools, the gangs and other stuff that's going on. There's a lot of drama. So you're just trying to survive that. And the parents are trying to, you know, pray that you be safe, you survive and go on, but nobody teaching you what you really need to know to you years later. You're like, damn, you know what I mean? I was making this type of money. I think about it all the time. I was making a couple of dollars so when I could have been learning a trade and making way more now. But, you know, you live and learn, so, you know, that you can teach your kids
a
better way than you do.
Yeah. I have a question for you. 5240. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's better to go and learn a trade like plumbing, electricity, because it doesn't take that long because there's apprenticeships and things like that?
Yeah.
Or did somebody go to college because they're getting in a lot of debt with that 4-year college and more?
No. There's a lot of white guys and apprenticeship programs making six figures. You can do AC now. You can do plumbing and all that. You can make damn near six figures now. You can do some type of pipe land and stuff like that and make six figures. Yeah, I would go through an apprenticeship program. That's the best thing. I know some black guys did it, a few white guys did more. Went to apprenticeship program.
Yeah, it sounds like it's better. It
yeah,
would
better.
Be for
it's,
a lot of
less money for tuition. You work on the job
right.
And you go to class a little bit throughout the week, so you work. And then some of them guys making $30, $40
an hour. Right.
So, you know, when you're coming out of high school now, you know, it's just a good trade. You have a lot of good trades you can take. You know what I'm saying? Well, do you in plumbing or AC back over there? I know guys making almost six figures. And it makes some of them maybe a dirty job, but like they said, they got nice house, pool, cars, Harley Davidson. I know a couple guys, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do that, you can go on the road and damn to make. You can drive nine, almost make about six figures, $80,000 or $90,000 just by driving. So you don't have to go to college, you know, just to get it, but unless you want to get it. But I think, like I said, college, I would take a trade. If I had to do it all over again, by the time I go to high school, I would take a good trade and learn on the job. So, you know what I mean? So right now, I'd have been a lot better off.
Right, because there's benefits to working and learning at the same time because you get to make money.
At the same time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
that's something,
people,
you know, black people should try to get their children to do, especially the ones, like, everybody doesn't want to go to college, and college isn't for everyone.
Mm-mm. But there's stuff out there you can do to make good money. But here's the thing. The young generation don't want to work hardly no more. Everybody want to complain. It's like when I was coming up, my first job I had at a restaurant, I had the bus tables. I had to bust tables, wash dishes, pots and pans for $3 and something an hour. Now, I'm thinking about it now when I got older. I said, hell no, I would have never done no shit like that if I was older. But even back then, you know, you're just trying to have some money because you're poor all the time. You ain't got the freshest shoes and all that. You're just trying to get some outfits or some shoes just to. But if I'd have known now what I know now, I would have went to school. And the time I graduated, I would have got into a trade. But nobody does. Nobody came to the inner city school and said, here's apprenticeship program. Here's a trade. Nobody did that.
You got to teach your kids while they're young.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you should be training them when they're, like, I mean, when they're born. Like, they should know, have an idea of what they might want to do, even if that's what they don't want to do forever. Like, I've seen people have a trade and make good money and go to school. And that way they could afford to pay for their college and they didn't end up in all that debt. So they could do, even if that trade wasn't their dream, they could go to college for what their dream was. And if it didn't work out, they still had a backup plan. And they weren't in all that debt at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree.
True.
I think from college is, you know, problem when you graduate and you have a degree and then you're in all this debt. I think college should be free.
Sure. Yeah, but we can't make everything free.
A few of them. Right, but I do know in a certain areas that I've been in that they do have some junior colleges that are free. If you live in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's free.
What I will say is, you know, don't knock the degree. You know, you might get out of college and have debt, but let's be realistic here. There's ways we can, you know, go to college and not have debt. You know, the stigma is you go to college, you get a degree, now you have all this debt. But if we as parents are working with our children, we can make sure that they're able to go to school without a whole bunch of debt, you know, by them doing their grades, you know, having good grades and actually, you know, working with them on that and showing the importance of it, showing them how to apply for scholarships and grants, you know, showing them how to visit different colleges and choosing those things. I know for me, I had to do it all on my own. I didn't have any help. You know, I didn't have that guidance, you know. And then, two, you know, I graduated college, yeah, I got student debt, but now, you know, I have a degree. And now, on top of that, I work, and I'm able to, you know, have choices. I don't have to, you know, get what someone's giving me anymore. I can make a decision on whether I want to do something or if I don't want to, you know. And so, like, that degree, you know, like, it ain't just a piece of paper. It means something, you know. There's a lot of jobs out here that at the end of the day, you could be perfectly fit and can knock it out, but because you don't have a degree, you know, you don't get the job.
Yeah, that's true.
I think trades, I mean, me personally, I think trades are really good, valuable tool set to know and to have. Personally, I think as parents, we all should, you know, strive to teach our kids a trade as they grow up, whether you're fixing something around the house, side project, whatever it is. You know, teach your kid how to, like, weld. Teach your kid how to, like, build a wall, to do some carpentry, to do plumbing, to do electrical work, like, whether it's wiring or not, or whatever the case may be. But by them knowing those things, they can always have work that they can do themselves. But, you know, they can also continue to, you know, like the other caller said, you know, go and try what they dream of. I think we need to do a better job of making sure we show the value and stress the importance of, you know, what I call home skills. You know, and like trade, those are home skills, you know, and that's not a knock against those types of jobs or anything, but it's like those are things that you can do at home. You don't have to pay someone else to do it. You know, those are things because you know how to do it, and just because you know how to do it, you can make money doing it for someone. I know, for example, I plug my tire. I had ran over a nail. I went and got the plug kit. I watched it on YouTube, and I did it myself. Now I know how to plug a tire. Guess what? If somebody got a nail in their tire, I plug your tire $25. You know, that's a little side hustle. I don't even got to do nothing. I mean, I have to do the work, obviously, but I can make a little bit of change just because I know how to do it. You know, the know-how is very important. And we got to start teaching our kids, not just start teaching our kids, but showing the value in your brain, thinking. You know, that's what we got to use. Like, I like trade and all, but, like, if you can make money using your mind, do it. You know, that's just like when it comes to sports. You know, that's physical labor. I got to tell you, I don't do physical labor no more. You know, I sit behind a computer. I press buttons, you know. And I worked hard to do that. So don't knock the education. Now, we need to fix our system. There's no reason people should be graduating college with more debt than a house. There's no reason for people to be paying on their education for the rest of their lives. You know, I don't think that that's smart.
I mean, I think that's the way the government has it set up, the education system is set up. Like, I don't think there's no reason a child should have to go to high school for 4 years and have nothing but a high school diploma. Like,
yeah,
I don't
agree.
Think that makes sense. Like, you should be able to pick up a trade. You should be able to go to college. My last year of college,
that.
I took
can I please say something real quick? You know what? They used to do that, but you know what? The government took them trades out of school where people used to do it years
right,
ago.
They did have
but it, the
all
government
the
took that.
They had.
Yeah.
I mean, that generation probably had a better work ethic also.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, they did. They did have a better work ethic than today's kids. Because everybody, you know, stuck on being cool. You got to be the coolest. So for God's sake, man, that's a electrician class or summer class. Oh, man, that's lame. That's lame. They want to be with the cool cat. But the cool cats is a lot of the cool cats. I notice when I get older is broke. Some of them homeless. A few of them got AIDS. One begging. But he's one of the coolest guys there is. Guy named Denny.
Yeah.
Girls used to flock to him. Now they flock away from him. Man, it is bad, man. He's begging for something to eat. Damn, man, Denny, you done went down, boy. You know what I'm saying? You was. Oh, shit. I don't even want to talk about it. But, yeah, go ahead on, man. This is shame.
Oh, great.
Damn shame if y'all seen Denny today.
I think that
Denny
was
used to get all the girls. Damn, boy. But go ahead on. That's another story. Lord have mercy. The boy there going down.
I think that was bad for them to take those things out of the school because it left kids that maybe would be doing something else at doing nothing. They're like, all right, I got my high school diploma. If I get that, like, since everybody doesn't want to come out of college, maybe everybody would have more motivation if they were going to finish with something. Like my senior year of high school, I went to class half the day, and then I worked the other half. But, like, that was pointless. Like, I should have been able to, now that I look back, it's like I should have been going to college, taking college classes during the other half of the day, like getting some of that out the way. Like, I just went to a school and helped the school do some, like, secretarial work. But, I mean, it would have been a more benefit to knock out maybe, like, a year of college instead of wasting time in high school. Like, I don't need to know East Asian civilization. Like, I don't need that. Like, a lot of it is just a waste.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But for us getting good programs back in the school, I doubt if the government do it. And then, like you said, the work ethic of generations are different.
The technology of generations are different as well.
Yeah,
that's true,
that
but,
is.
You know, like, I tell you, everybody say people are lazy, but I'm just like, let's be real. Do anybody want to go out in the field and pick some cotton? I know I don't want to go out and pick no cotton. I know I don't want to go pick no tobacco. I know I don't want to go pick no sugar cane.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I'm saying, but we just, in those days, I understand that, but those generations had better work ethic. We just talking about, you know, I understand, me neither, but, you know, better work ethic. It's just like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, today's generation is just getting really just started, because I know even young guys are 20 years old in the job, they're getting paid $16.50 starting out, but I mean, I ain't doing it. Shit, I remember years ago when I started, it was like $9.50, and we was just do a lot of work by ourselves. I just, over the year that I make more, but if I work my way up to making more. But these guys come in making good money, and they hiding from work on the phone with the old lady and other stuff and don't want to pay attention. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, maybe as parents, like, people need to fight more for those types of programs to be in the schools. Because I feel like a lot of us, including myself, like, I just didn't think about that, like, the programs that could be in the school that aren't in the school, because we just send our kids to school. Shit, we just happy they out the house sometimes.
Right.
Right.
It's
so
just like me. I'm thinking the same thing. Because
our own pay schools and teach our own children? Find an instructor knows what they're doing, knows everything about it, and have our own trade schools and educate our own kids.
I know for me, like for my kids, I have one child who has special needs that goes to school. I have another child who is doing really good and progressing. But like I know, like for you know, for my future children, I want them to be homeschooled. You know, I don't want them to be in a daycare. You know, I don't want to have to pay for daycare. You know, it's not just the fact that I don't want to have to pay for daycare, but more or less the fact that I don't want, you know, some stranger raising my kid. You know, that is what it is. I mean, think about it. You 6 weeks after having a baby, you got to go back to work, put your kid in a daycare, have him at the daycare, you know, 8-10 hours a day. You got to sleep 8 to 10 hours a day. That's anywhere from 16 to 20 hours already gone. Well, how much time do you have left to actually do that teaching?
And don't forget about the price, too, brother. Don't forget about the price. It'll be like $220, $230, $250 up there where y'all at a week on a daycare or whatever, if not more.
$250.
I know it's about
$200. Try about $400, $500.
I wish it was $250.
Okay,
I wish it. Hey, what is that?
That's it. I'm at about $200, $250 here. per week per kid. Lord have mercy.
That might change.
200.
Yeah.
200 sounds good to me right now.
Yeah, I thought it would be. Lord have mercy. But yeah, and that's the going rate right between 2 and 250 a week.
But yeah, I mean, so that just shows what we got to be doing ourselves. One of the things I want everyone on the call to, you know, honestly hear me on this one. Make it your goal this year to find something that you want to invest in. Put some money together. Take $100 a month. $100 a month for 1 year, that's $1,200. Put your money with somebody else's money to make it more money so you guys can go and do something. You know, like, we got to start taking some chances. Like, we got to save our money so when it's time to make moves, we can make moves. Everybody gets scared and freak out during the Great Depression. During a depression or a recession, that's when you're supposed to spend your money. While we in an incline, you're supposed to save. While you in a recession, you're supposed to spend. You know, that's how you get wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about. I have no idea what I just said. You know?
Well, I do know one thing. Home ownership is a way to build wealth. And investing in real estate is excellent. People need to, you know, diversify their investments. But, you know, they need to do what's best for them and what works for them, but they need to do something. And some people are scared to spend money, but sometimes you got to spend money to make money.
Awesome.
Yes, and I know, like, people are afraid of risk, but if you listen to, like, a lot of successful people speak, like, a lot of people have failed the first, second, third time at doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always going to happen the first time.
You only got to succeed once.
Exactly.
Hey, even though Colonel Sanders stole his recipe, he didn't become Colonel Sanders until he was about 74 years old is when he sold the recipe. So, you know, the Harry Potter series, person had just gone through a divorce, midlife crisis in their 40s when they was writing Harry Potter. You know?
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Right, and they turned her down. Okay. The show is getting ready to end, and thank you for listening.
Got a problem.
Always.
You got
and everybody
have the boy Jay Jackson.
And thank you for all the callers for calling in. All
right.
And you all have a wonderful evening.
Okay. You do the same.
Right, and I will be definitely calling you soon.
Okay. Now have a good one.
You too. Like I said, everybody, have a good evening. Thank you for listening. Bye.